Here to dive into industry trends with leading ETF experts, this is ETF Spotlight with Nina Mishra.
Hello and welcome to ETF Spotlight. I'm your host, Nina Mishra. My guest today is Steve Lively, Managing Director and Global Co-Head of iShares Fixed Income ETFs at BlackRock. BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, offers over 400 ETFs in the US markets, including 116 fixed income ETFs, both active and index tracking, across a variety of strategies. Steve, welcome back. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Nia.
So let's start with this renewed interest in bonds that we have seen this year. Bonds are back in a big way, and bond ETFs have seen massive inflows this year. And this comes after a terrible performance for bonds last year. But now with yields not seen since the financial crisis, bonds have become a real alternative to stocks. So we have gone from Tina, there's no alternative to stocks. So to Terra, there are reasonable alternatives, and bonds are one of those real reasonable alternatives to stocks. And then we have seen this risk of sentiment from the recent banking turmoil and fears about a looming recession that has made investors more risk averse. And so tell us why fixed income ETFs have become so popular this year. And we know that global bond ETF AUM is now at almost $2 trillion. And so tell us what is driving this adoption. And do you expect the trend to continue?
Yeah, Nina. So it's been a very interesting couple of years, few years actually. If you go back to 2020, it's interesting because even after the financial crisis, when yields were very low, we were seeing very steady adoption of bond ETFs over time. There were certain episodes that accelerated that. I think whenever we had any source of volatility, and I'll give you some examples. 2013, the taper tantrum, as people called it back then, which actually pales a little bit compared to the interest rate backup we saw last year. And then we had a series of hiccups in the high yield market driven by some energy volatility in 2015 and 2018. Whenever we had those stress periods, we would tend to see flows and volumes in fixed income ETFs really pick up. And they would tend to stay at that sustained level. So they would hit sort of new levels. But I think, 2020, the first quarter when we had sort of the peak volatility of the onset of COVID, that's when we really started noticing a sea change in bond ETF adoption. And it was across the board, but in particular, we noticed, institutional investors really starting to move into the product at that point. And what drove them to do so was just, the pockets of illiquidity and the challenges they were experiencing in the underlying bond market, even treasuries. And so that really kicked off a surge of adoption, during that period of time. In 2019, the year before COVID, we forecast that we would hit $2 trillion industry-wide, and that's global, across bond ETFs, and we're almost there. And we're a little bit ahead of schedule. I think if it would not have been for, the backup in interest rates and the, change in valuations, we probably already would have passed that. But we're right on schedule to hit that $2 trillion mark. What's driving it? I think just, the recognition that bond ETFs are a very easy, efficient, liquid way to get access to the bond market. And that includes for institutional investors as well. For individual investors, it was always the case that bond ETFs were more efficient than individual bonds, but even institutional investors have really started to recognize that. And last sort of data point on this, last year, in the worst, worst bond market and, most significant tightening cycle in 40 years, while most of the industry was in outflows. And by that, I mean, you know, fixed income mutual funds were in net outflows last year. Bond ETFs set record inflows. So our franchise alone brought in $120 billion last year in bond ETFs, despite that backdrop. So again, that's a recognition that you know, these vehicles are a great way to access the bond market. They are becoming you know, a preferred vehicle for allocation, especially given this great reset in interest rates.
Right. So earlier this year, we saw a lot of interest into shorter duration bond funds. And lately, we have seen that investors have kind of increased their appetite for showing increased appetite for riskier bond areas as well. So we are going to talk about which areas of bond ETFs look attractive to you now, look appealing to you. But before all that is going to depend on the Fed actions this year. So we have seen that many investors believe that, you know, we are kind of approaching the end of the hiking cycle. And some investors are even betting that the Fed may be forced to cut interest rates later this year. So do you expect a long pause by the Fed or a quick pivot later this year? And then after that, we'll talk about some of the bond areas that look appealing.
It's interesting on the Fed because the Fed minutes from the last decision just came out, and there does appear to be some difference in opinion on whether they should continue to hike or pause. And I think the broad messaging seems to be around, you know, what the data will tell them in the coming weeks. We do have some significant data releases ahead of the next meeting. Included in that would be PCE, which is a measure, you know, an inflation measure that the Fed looks at, and also another CPI print right before decision day. So it does seem that they are going to be looking at that data very, very closely to decide whether to go again. But even then, I do think some of the participants are a little bit concerned around, you know, the cumulative effect that may already be starting to sink in from the previous hike. So we'll see. I think in general, though, whether they do hike one more time or whether they decide to wait and see, I do think that investors are increasingly starting to add some duration back to their portfolio. And that's a recognition that, you know, we may very well be entering a period of slowdown, despite some of the resiliency in the data that we've seen. And so we're starting to see investors this year rotating out of inflation-protected bonds, moving out the yield curve in terms of duration exposure, whether that's in treasuries or investment grade. We're starting to see that pattern. Why are they doing that? They're doing that because they want to add some ballast in the portfolio, just in case there is a slowdown, whether that's an outright recession or just a pronounced slowdown, to cushion against some equity volatility that may arise from that. So that's a pattern we're seeing, rotation out of tips and into longer duration on the yield curve.
So help me put all this into practical terms for investor portfolios. How should investors be positioning their portfolios now? Where should they be putting their money to work?
I do think investors have to have somewhat of a view here in terms of whether or not, you know, we'll get a soft landing or whether we will actually tip into, you know, a more significant slowdown slash recession. If you're in the soft landing camp, I do think it's an opportunity to, you know, extend out the curve somewhat, get broader exposure to credit. That gives you the ability to even add back some high yield, emerging markets, et cetera, yieldier exposures, if you're confident in the soft landing scenario. So there's a whole, you know, wealth of exposures that are now repriced at very attractive yield levels. And you know, if you're in the soft landing cap, you do have the ability to retool that 40% fixed income sleeve to optimize across income, you know, and ballast. If you are in the hard landing camp or in the recession camp, you should probably stick to higher quality fixed income exposures, probably moving a little bit further out in the duration spectrum to give you that ballast against, you know, your equity or your riskier exposures in your portfolio, because in a hard landing scenario, you are going to want to hold that higher quality, more interest rate sensitive fixed income, because, you know, after this yield reset, you have seen that negative correlation between bonds and equities resurface after it was entirely absent last year.
Interesting ideas. Now, you mentioned investors rotating out of TIPS, and we have seen that inflation is clearly showing signs of moderation lately, but it is still expected to remain sticky well above the central bank's target. So should investors be still adding some inflation protection to their portfolios?
Yeah, and this is the big debate that investors are having amongst themselves now is, you know, are we really seeing the turning point in inflation? You know, a number of investors believe that inflation will be going down, but stickier than expected. And in that particular case, if you are in that camp, it might make sense to hold, you know, some allocation to inflation protected bonds. We prefer the shorter end of the yield curve in terms of inflation protection. So what do I mean by that? I mean shorter maturity TIPS. We do have a fund called STIP that holds inflation protected treasuries from 0 to 5 years in maturity. So that gives you that very short end exposure. Why do we like that? We like that because it takes out it reduces the interest rate sensitivity component of that return and focuses more on the pure inflation-driven component of that return. So if it's truly inflation that you're worried about, whether that is it takes a lot longer to come down than expected, or perhaps you're even worried about potential upside surprises in inflation, we like that shorter maturity exposure and tips to accomplish that. So that's one way to do it. Another product that we have seen investors allocating into would be corporate linked TIPS. So we have a product, and just to explain that a little bit, we have a product called LQDI. So some investors might be familiar with our flagship investment grade fund, LQD. This is just an inflation linked version of LQD. So you're maintaining your credit exposure, but if you are worried about inflation being sticky or even surprising to the upside, you could actually do both and hold inflation protected LQD. So that's another thing. We have started to see some small flows come back into that fund as well.
Both very interesting products, STIP and LQDI. Now, what are the trends, biggest trends that we have seen lately in the ETF world is this rising adoption of actively managed ETFs, and particularly when markets are very volatile, investors look for active, more nimble management, right? And you launched a new active fixed income ETFs just this week. It is the BlackRock Flexible Income ETF, and this is going to be managed by Rick Rieder, who is the Chief Investment Officer of Global Fixed Income at BlackRock. And he was also Morningstar's Outstanding Portfolio Manager for 2023. So tell us about this ETF and where does it fit in a portfolio?
Yes, we're very excited about BINC. We think it will give investors and advisors, you know, another tool to really tailor and calibrate portfolios. So what it is we call it an allocation to the plus sector. So if you think about a traditional core plus allocation in fixed income, that's holding something like the aggregate, which is all investment grade. That's treasuries, investment grade credit, agency mortgage-backed securities, you know, high quality fixed income exposures. And the plus part of that would tend to be things like high yield, some emerging markets, lower credit quality securitized, things like that. What this product does is take that plus sleeve and separate it out and allow BlackRock to manage that sleeve actively. So giving Rick the ability to manage that particular part of the allocation, to manage that actively. And so an end investor can then look at a low-cost core high quality exposure like AGG, which is, you know, our aggregate fund, investment grade aggregate fund, but then also hold BINC on the side as an extra income enhancement to that core exposure. So I think the really interesting thing about this product is, you know, rather than just buying, you know, a core plus fund and being done with it, you now have the ability to customize that exposure depending on your risk tolerance. So an investor who wants more income and less core can buy more BINC and hold less AGG as an example, or the opposite. If they want to hold majority in a core investment grade product, but have you know, some enhancement around that, some alpha seeking enhancement and income enhancement, they can add to BINC as a satellite exposure. So we're very excited about this because we do think this is the way investors should think about fixed income, which is, you know, one size fits all is fine, but if you have the ability to tailor the exposures to your own risk profile, that's even better.
Excellent stuff. That's all we have time for today. Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Nina.
That was Steve Lipley, Global Co-Head of iShares Fixed Income ETFs at BlackRock. Thanks for listening. If you like our show, please leave us a rating at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, make sure to subscribe to our show so that you do not miss any episode. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, please email podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.